Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the OM Times Radio Network.
Good day and welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on OM Times Radio. I'm coming to you live this beautiful day from the foothills of the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. I have a very great show for you today about healing and understanding how old stories can get stuck in our bodies and in our energy field, and how we can just better communicate and understand that communication between our mind, body, and spirit, and use that for our own healing potential. So we are speaking today with Janine Wiest, and we are talking about the subject of her book, The Alchemy of Self-Healing, a revolutionary 30-day plan to change how you relate to your body and health. So very exciting. Next week, we have Nina Lesowitz, and we are talking about the secrets of gratitude and the science of contentment. And she has done a lot of study into that and what she has learned from a spiritual perspective and what she has learned from a scientific perspective. So that will be a great show for you coming up next week. You need to get a hold of me, the host, Angela Levesque, at any time during the week. You can email me at angela@hestiahealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health, as well as on Entanglement Radio. So I would love to connect with you that way, especially sort of in the early phases of the show, knowing what you like, what you want to hear more of, and the topics you'd like to have conversations on. So please do find me there. As I mentioned today, we are talking about Janine Wiest's book, The Alchemy of Self-Healing. And it's interesting in my work, especially the spiritual community, I hear a lot that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, which I think is true. But what is also true is we are having these experiences in these beautiful, albeit dense, physical bodies. And so that is important. And so in my work, often I will have people who are so grounded in the physical and they've not really explored or engaged or experienced their essence or their soul or those intangible qualities of the spirit. And then sometimes I'll meet people who are so kind of floating up in the ethereal realms of spirituality that they've totally disconnected from their body. And so what we're talking about today is really how we understand that we are mind, body, spirit, the communication that happens on all of those different levels, and how we can become better listeners and communicators in an effort to unleash or unlock our healing potential. So, sounds good, don't you think? So let me introduce my guest. Janine Wiest is an advanced certified craniosacral therapist, Reiki master, and holistic coach. She has danced on Broadway, dissected a human cadaver, and today works with a wide variety of clientele. She received her BFA from Purchase College and holds craniosacral certifications from Upledger Institute, where she has been a longtime teaching assistant. Wiest is a leading expert in combining craniosacral therapy concepts and creative principles. Her mission is to help people heal themselves by learning about and developing a nature-based relationship with their bodies. So with that, I feel very honored and blessed to welcome Janine Wiest to the program. Hello, Janine. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. It's a great day to talk about alchemy.
It is a great day. I don't know where you are, but it is so crazy. I'm in Boise, Idaho, and normally it would be, winter. And it has just been like 60 degrees all week. It's beautiful, and I love being out in nature and doing that. It just seems a little bit out of sync. I'm not sure. Where are you located?
Well, I'm in California, so I really can't be part of that weather conversation. But I did grow up in New York City, so I certainly had my share of winter and snow days. But it's beautiful here.
That's sunny California. It's always beautiful. So let's move on and talk about, so you are certified as a craniosacral therapist, but you talk a lot, and even your website is cranial alchemy. What are you talking about when you add that word alchemy to the conversation?
Well, you know, alchemy is a process by which something ordinary becomes something extraordinary. And that's really what it is. So I added that word. It's my favorite word to my practice because I like to open up the idea of bringing the unseen into your healing process and into your creating process.
I love that. So when we talk about the difference between craniosacral therapy, you kind of have your own spin. How does it differ from that?
Well, what I've done is just over the years, I've seen that things are not purely physical. As you were mentioning in the beginning of the show, things are not just purely physical and they're not just purely spiritual. There needs to be an integration. And I think that's what's missing. I think that oftentimes there's a disconnection and people think either I do this or I do that. And historically, even if you look at the Bible or the Torah or whatever book you grew up with, descending into the body has always been seen somehow as bad or base or less than, while moving up to heaven or moving up to spirit has always been seen as something virtuous, right? Mm-hmm. But at this point on earth, what's going on earth, I see this as a necessity that we each take true responsibility. And taking true responsibility means an integration, and it means that we look inward. And we look at our body, we look to our body for answers, because our body is the ultimate recorder, really. It's recorded everything, depending on what your beliefs are, at least since in utero, and some people would even say before that, right?
So let's talk for a moment about the body being a recorder. You know, we hear a lot, people say, you know, you've got to change your subconscious drives and say some affirmations and, you know, think positively and do all of these things that are really sort of mind or mental based. Is that enough, or do we have to go back and address those things in the way that they've been stored in the body?
I think if you can do affirmations and get your results purely just doing affirmations, then great. I still think you're missing a lovely piece about connecting to your body. But what I really see is that most people can't do that. Most people do their affirmations and they'll say, oh, I'm happy, I'm whole, I am complete. And they don't feel that way at all. Or they feel somehow still disconnected or still not achieving and receiving and creating what they'd like to create in their life. And so if that's you, you know, just know that there is that missing piece of connecting to your body. And if your affirmations aren't working for you the way you'd like them to, that's probably why.
In your book, you, and we were talking about this before we came on air, you have an 8-question quiz. And tell us a little bit about that and what the purpose of getting people kind of thinking about that, the content of your book.
Yeah, well, it's really great. I have it at the beginning and then again at the end of the book. And the idea is that you can rate your relationship with your body right now, because we have to start where we are. And so you start with the 8-question quiz and you see where you are. Then you work through the book, which is very practical and very user-friendly. And then at the end of 30 days, you have the opportunity to retake the quiz and see where you are. And then if you're stuck in certain spots, I have remedies and ideas of what you can do. Because I really want people to read this book and use it. I want them to use it up. I don't want it to just be sort of something on the nightstand, like a nice idea that they'll get to in the future, because this is really practical stuff and it can help you.
One of the questions that you ask in the 8-question quiz is, what is it that you like least about yourself? And then you ask people to have a conversation with that part of their body. Do you find that people on the outset are comfortable with looking at that part of their body and having a conversation?
Well, sometimes people aren't. Sometimes people have never thought about it. So I would say start out by listening. First of all, just listening to your body. Your body is instant messaging you all the time. So if you were to pick up even a portion of those instant messages, you would get really very personal gold for yourself. I mean, this is unique information. This is unique. These are unique decisions that your body has made, that you have decided over the years based on your experiences. So it's very valuable, and it can completely change your perspective if you open up to it. And some of it also is maybe outdated and stuff that you really don't need anymore that you can release or transform. Absolutely. Once you decide, you define what part of your body you love without condition, which is the first question in the quiz, which a lot of people get stuck on. Because, you know, as we were talking about before the show started, everybody knows what they don't like about their body. Right. But when you say, what do you love without condition? A lot of people draw a blank.
It's interesting because if you would have asked me that question, I don't know, when I was a teenager or in my 20s, 100% I would have said my shoulders. I used to love my shoulders. And it's interesting that when you asked that question, I kind of went to my shoulders and I thought, no, now my shoulders are actually one of my biggest problem areas because I carry so much tension and strain and, you know, just part of that is energetic, but part of that is just being on my computer and doing so much writing. And it's interesting. That was a kind of eye-opening for me to realize that I used to just love my shoulders. I don't know what it was about them, but I loved them. And then now all of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness, I would never say that because they are such a kind of a problem area for me now just because of the sheer amount of stuff that I carry there. So, you know, I want to hear your response on that, but I know that we are coming up on a break here, so I want to give you the opportunity to respond. As well, when we get back, I want to talk about touchstones and this idea of doing inner reconnaissance, because I think that that is really important. And I actually did your little audio thing on your website several times, and I also did it with my husband, so I have some things to remark on that as well. So we are talking here with Janine Wiest on her book, The Alchemy of Self-Healing, on Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times.
The Conscious Parenting Radio Show provides inspiration and resources for loving, empowering, and respecting your children and yourself. Join me, Timothy, every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we consciously explore proven ways of living together in happiness, health, and harmony.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
All right, we are back here on Entanglement Radio on IOM.FM. My guest today is Janine Wiest, and we are talking about the subject of her book, The Alchemy of Self-Healing. So, Janine, before the break, I was talking about how my view of my body has shifted from when I was, you know, a teenager to an adult to from being my shoulders to thinking my shoulders are one of my most problem areas. Do you think that's a common thing that things shift, or do you think that things get stuck in the body and then they kind of just stay there?
I think, well, I would say yes to both of those. And I would also say maybe it might be time to be friends with your shoulders again. Because if your shoulders held such importance for you when you were younger and you were in love with them, that means there's something there that's still there that's just been covered up with, you know, as you say, working on the computer and just life, you know, life happens. But just tuning in and listening to your shoulders right now, you know, within the next week or so, might give you an opportunity to bring them sort of back online in terms of being a supporter of you. Because let's face it, they've served you well. And just imagine what you were talking about before the break. Just imagine if your shoulders were listening, because they are. But just imagine for a second if you were your shoulders and you'd hear how, oh, one time she really liked me and now she doesn't. She sees me as a problem. You know, that's kind of self-defeating and sad in a way. So let's change it, and you can change it in an instant.
And that was an interesting point in your book, is not only, you know, what your body is saying to you, but how what you're saying to your body and the language that you use. And that's a really, I think that that's a really important point is in listening to that. And it's funny is in tune as sometimes I think I am, I didn't catch that.
And, you know, and the thing is, we all have that. And the fact is that you are in tune. So just imagine somebody who isn't as in tune as you are, how many messages they're giving to their body about, oh, you're less than, or, oh, this damn ankle always holding me back, or, you know, all of these, this negative self-talk really adds up. And it's a weight. It becomes a physical issue in your body if you keep it up over time.
So let's talk about inner reconnaissance. When I first read that, I kept saying, it kept reading it as renaissance. And I thought, oh, that's kind of beautiful and poetic too, though, creating this new self, kind of reinventing. But what
that works. That works.
So let's talk. What exactly, when you say doing some inner reconnaissance, what are you talking about?
Well, I look at reconnaissance as getting the lay of the land, right? You usually think of it like an aerial view, looking down at the terrain and seeing what's going on, where the mountains are, where the valleys are, where there's water, where there's drought. And so that's exactly what we're doing when we're zooming in and we're doing a meditation or an inquiry like the one I have up on my website that you were saying you did. What you're seeing, how you're seeing yourself. And so, you know, if you get to the place where you can actually travel and get quiet, travel inside your body and look around with a soft, really soft pair of compassionate eyes, not, oh, look, there's that dumb shoulder again, and there's my clavicle, oh, no good, you know, but really just within a soft inquiry, a soft sort of questioning curiosity. What's there? It feels kind of dark there. Gee, that feels stuck. Oh, that feels kind of good around my abdomen. Or, you know, if you're able to experiment with those ideas of taking actual responsibility for looking around your body and feeling how it is feeling, that's really a powerful place to be, because then you get to be in charge and you're not looking for external support or external experts to tell you what's going on with you. I mean, who better than you to be your own expert?
I have a question about that. And I've found that this happens a lot when I'm taken through meditations where, you know, I'm kind of scanning my body, and that often I have a really hard time scanning my body, but what I can see is sort of an avatar of my body in the third eye. And so I can scan that avatar and be able to see, you know, experience those things that you were just saying. But I have a hard time kind of taking that avatar and putting it back into my body and feeling my body. Is that the ultimate goal, is to get myself out of having that projection and seeing the projection, or is that another way to have that experience?
I think it's another way to have the experience, and only you can know if you're reaping the rewards of those kinds of inquiries with the avatar situation. Certainly, it sounds to me that might very well be a workable model for you. But, you know, I think in the book I talk about one guy who absolutely could not quiet himself down enough to do this work. But then he, you know those guys you see on TV, on YouTube, where they have these wingsuits and people glide off mountains and it looks mm-hmm. like very dangerous but beautiful.
Yeah.
He apparently does that work in life. And so he was able to see himself whooshing around in a wingsuit inside his body. And that's what he was able to do. Now, I talk about doing things slowly and quietly. And he was doing things quickly and kind of dangerously. But that's also who he was. That's his energy signature. So that worked for him. And the avatar piece may very well be working for you. You would have to tell me. But the idea is that there's more than one way in and we're each unique. And that's why this work is meant to be not, you know, one size fits all. I would say it sounds like you're on the right track with that.
And I'm glad that you said that and gave that example of the glider, because I think that sometimes, you know, people get stuck with how it comes up, and then that kind of takes them out of the moment, out of the experience. So I want to move on and talk about touchstones, because I think that that's a really interesting concept as well. What are touchstones, and how do we find them?
Well, a touchstone is something external that becomes sort of a talisman. But the idea is that it lowers your internal alarm system before you react in a self-defeating way. And we all get triggered. But the idea is that hopefully the more we do our internal work, we get triggered less and less, and we're able to sort of stay in a more neutral, at the ready state, ready to respond in a variety of ways, not feeling triggered like, oh my God, I have to do this. This requires only this response. Usually it's somebody who's hurt you or made you mad, or someone who didn't live up to whatever it is you think they should have done. So a touchstone is something that's able to bring you in the moment into a place where you can make a decision from with a wider array of choices. And it can be anything from an actual stone to, for example, I have a friend who has an old sweater from college, and she puts it on the back of her door. She has a hook and she never wears it. The thing is ratty and probably unwearable. But it reminds her of this wonderful time in her higher learning life. So when she's able to, she can close the door and just kind of look at it. And it does completely calm her down and put things in perspective. And she gets to see a wider possibility of reactions to whatever situation is she needs to make a decision about. I also, though, do a lot of work with stones, and I would say that just simply picking up a stone and blowing into it can also be a touchstone. Once again, what it does is it lowers your alarm system. It brings you immediately into the present. And, of course, stones symbolically connect you to Mother Earth, which is a very powerful, very grounding thing to do.
In your book, you also talk about three different levels of awareness. And I thought that this was really interesting because, you know, I'd thought about things before from different ideas, but it's interesting when you read something and it just provides you a deeper level of clarity, I guess, on the way that you had approached a situation. So if you could explain those, that would be great.
Well, I talk about physical, metaphysical, and metaphorical. And basically what we want to do is be able to, this actually fits in perfectly with touchstones, because what you want to do is have a wide array of possibilities available to you for your decision making. And oftentimes we don't. Oftentimes we think we have this choice or the other choice, and we don't ever look beyond that and widen our perceptual lens. So when you're working purely on the physical level, that's, you know, the bones and the fluids and just the bodily functions, daily functions that keep us alive. When you're working metaphysically, that's where the integration of the body and mind starts to come into play. And then when you're working metaphorically, that's where your dreams come in. that's where all possibilities, and you get to have the flights of fancy and think about the things that really make your heart sing and bring those into the realm of the actual. So by working on, and at any given time, one of those will be needing to be the strongest. And so once you get used to, first of all, seeing what's physical, what's metaphysical, and what's metaphorical, which really doesn't take, I mean, probably you can decipher that in any given situation in half the time that it's taking me to explain this, you'll know then what needs to be highlighted and then what other pieces need to be integrated. And it becomes a really much easier way of creating solutions for yourself and creating the best decision. That's one of the things this book will do, is help you make better decisions, knowing that they're from an authentic place and truly an integrated piece.
Well, we are coming up on a break here in about 50 seconds. So I just want to let my listeners know that if you are listening right now and you would like to check out her website, you can go to cranialalchemy.com, and that inner reconnaissance podcast that we were talking about is there. And it's a really interesting thing just to kind of figure out and move through your body. And so I urge you to do that. And like I said, if you want to find out more about this show, you can go to HestiaHealth.com, and you can also find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Entanglement Radio. Coming up next, I want to talk about energy signatures, how we better decipher what is our own energy and what is picking up from energy of other people, and then get into some of the concepts of pressure, no pressure, as well as what is direction of ease. So we'll do that all and more when we return her on Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque, right here on Om Times Radio.
Expand your soul. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm the host of Co-Creating Now. Give yourself an opportunity to connect with your all-knowing higher self and manifest joy, love, and peace together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business, and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Radio Namaste leads you down the yellow brick road into portals of consciousness with the Blue Collar Goddess as your host. Interviews with humans who could be famous or just popular, and answers to everything are on the agenda. Tune into Om Times Radio and drop in on Thursdays at 3 Eastern. It's a different brand of enlightenment.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right, we are back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on IOM.FM. My guest again today is Janine Wiest, and we are talking about the subject of her book, The Alchemy of Self-Healing. I would like to shift into talking about, and you alluded to this earlier, about specific energy signatures. So can you tell us a little bit about what energy signatures are and how understanding our own helps us in this process of kind of deciphering the communication between our body, mind, and spirit?
Absolutely. Well, your energy signature is sort of what enters the room before you open your mouth. It's we've all had that experience of maybe being in a room and somebody enters the room and everyone just sort of turns and it seems like angels sing and the lights go on brighter and everything seems wonderful. Sometimes people will say that happens when a celebrity walks into the room. Sometimes it's just anybody who has a really powerful energy signature that's really strong and aligned with spirit. So that would be an example of that person's energy signature and a powerful energy signature that is magnetic. We've also all had that experience of maybe somebody walking into the room and they just seem to suck all the air right out of the room and everything just seems a little bit more constricted and shut down and closed off. That also is a type of power, but it's a more negative power. And I think that to the degree that you're aware of how you are received without opening your mouth and saying a word, that becomes then either something that you're doing by default or something that you're conscious of. And then, of course, you have the opportunity to create or recreate it if the effect that you're having is not optimal or not what you would like.
So is our energy signature somewhat dynamic? Is it, you said that we have the opportunity to change it, but are there like enduring characteristics there? Or are those enduring characteristics there because of sort of the stuck stories that we have?
I think that it is true that sometimes they're there because of the stuck stories. But oftentimes it's something that's just maybe ancestral. Something that's been passed down through our family, through our DNA, also almost epigenetically. So the idea being that if your family mantra was, whatever you have, don't let anybody know because they'll take it from you, right? Which may very well have been true in an ancient time, but is probably less of a survival type situation these days. But you might still be carrying that energy. So that when you walk into a room or into a situation or a negotiation, you feel very closed off and you're going to make everybody fight for whatever they get, whatever point they make. So that could come across in your energy signature as someone who is not kinetic and not open and not like the first energy signature I described where somebody walks into the room and angels sing and everybody's drawn to them. And that can be detrimental. I mean, knowledge is power, but that it's about your luminous energy field goes out about a foot all around you. And it's in a torus shape, which is sort of like an egg, a beautiful egg shape. So that's your personal space. And that's the area where your energy is emanating the most powerfully, the most strongly. And people are picking up on that. So, and you know, another example of an energy signature would be someone with very deliberate, very slow moving, deliberate motions where you might feel a little calmer around them because they're not flitting from place to place and their eyes are direct and their gaze is directly on you. So there are all different kinds of energy signatures and everybody has a unique one. The question is, is it serving you? And once you're able to identify whether it's serving you, yes, of course you can change it, modify it, you know, partially. Sometimes people do have to do ancestral work in order to get those old stories that go way, way, way back that weren't ever yours, really yours. You know, but sometimes it's just as simple as recognizing what is yours and what is other, which is also what I have lots of exercises in the book that you can try that are very simple, don't take a lot of time, certainly don't take, you know, any special equipment or knowledge. It's just about being open to that unseen support that is all around you. And when you start to allow that into your luminous energy field that I just described, then all of a sudden your energy signature starts responding to that. So it becomes a lovely give and take.
Well, I have a question. So if somebody can have that level of awareness where, you know, they're scanning their luminous body and they can see that energy's stuck there, how do they know what that story is? How are they able to tell that this is maybe ancestral energy or this is from a trauma that I had experienced as a young child? How do they uncover what those stories are?
Well, that's why I wrote the book, because people would come to me and think I had the answers when really I was reading their body and working with them and facilitating. So I think experts like such as myself, such as you, are people who can give you extra added support if you need it. But first, there's so much you can do on your own. There's so much, which is why I wrote the book. And one of the things you can do, which I share with people, is when you have a question like that, like, gee, I wonder if this is ancestral or if this is something that I created just unknowingly on a subconscious level, take your hand and place it either across your chest or on your belly, whichever you feel drawn to. And this is a great way of beginning to make connection with your body. So in other words, when you say, what would I do? Ask your body. That would be the answer. So if you take that hand and think of it being a leaf on water, so that's exactly the kind of light touch that you want to have, that connection with your body. So you're asking, you're not demanding. And you're just keeping your hand there and saying, what do I need to know about this situation right now? Is this ancestral? And then you have to wait. And the thing is that at the beginning, people get uncomfortable because they're waiting and they're wondering if they're doing it right. Is, you know, should I have a little more weight in my hand? Maybe I picked my belly and I should have picked my chest. You know, people have all these questions running through their head. And you have to quiet that chatter and stay with your hand on your body in one of those two spots, like a leaf on water, where your hand is the leaf and your body is the body of water. And just wait and just listen and just ask that one question. In your case, what you just said about how do I know if this is ancestral or not? And of course, at the beginning, like anything, when you're making a new, creating a new habit, you may not get an answer immediately. You may have to realize that your body may be calibrated to be, you know, used to being ignored. So it's not going to necessarily come forward. I remember actually, this reminds me of a story with a woman who's an animal communicator. And she said when she first started communicating with wild animals, she was doing everything she used to do with domesticated animals, and it wasn't working. And she couldn't understand. She was doing everything exactly that she'd always done throughout her career. And finally, she was trying to talk to this wild bird. And finally, one day, the bird said, why should I talk to you? Mm-hmm. And she realized that that oftentimes the communication between what's wild in the world and what's domesticated in human is a fractured communication. And so that bird was actually very smart. It was actually kind of ironic, saying, why should I communicate with you when you haven't communicated with me in all this time? And I would say that's the same thing with your body. Your body is longing to be heard by you. But it's almost like, think about it as a relationship. It's afraid to show its vulnerability because you've been ignoring it and making it power through so many things. So the minute that you begin to start to ask it questions, you have to give it time to go to realize that you actually mean it, that you're actually there for it, right? It may very much be like that wild bird, like, why should I talk to you? What are you going to do with that information? So there, a trust needs to develop.
And as you build that trust with your body, will it also tell you what you need to do in order to remove that blockage or that story from the luminous body or from the physical body?
Well, oftentimes I think that it's almost a question of believing it. You know, if you believe in yourself, then those kinds of magical things will show up. So if you think something is not possible, then it's likely that you're going to have to be hit over the head with a 2x4 to get a certain point. But absolutely, I've seen it over and over again. When you apply yourself and do the inner work where you think that you absolutely are going to have the answer, you know, how the answer comes to you is different for everybody. I happen to be clairaudient, so I oftentimes will hear things. I have some clients who will hear flashes of things or see flashes of things. Sometimes people will just wake up in the morning and kind of have a new idea, like a light, like the light bulb went off. So it's about noticing, and I'm very fond of saying that noticing is healing, and developing a sensory-based relationship with your body is alchemical. And it's why I call the book The Alchemy of Self-Healing. It is, but you have to dive in with both feet. You have to just dive in.
I like that, and I really appreciate you saying that you have to know how your body speaks to you and how you pick up. For like for myself, I just have this really kind of deep inner knowing that I comes from outside myself, that I know, or maybe it comes from within myself, but I know it's not my, you know, my talking mind that's saying do this. It's more of just this inner knowing that kind of rises up in me. So I appreciate you saying that. So what is one of the ways that
you've learned to trust that, right? You've learned to trust that sometimes, even when maybe it might be something that you think wouldn't be the first choice to do, but if it comes from that inner knowing, you will be more likely to try that, right? If you were to try to dissect that and say, well, wait a minute, how do I know that this comes from my inner knowing and da-da-da-da, you can do little hamster wheels for yourself, can't you? So it's about really that trust. And what you've just described is a perfect example of that trust that you've developed and what you just know. You're saying you just know. And I think that that's a very powerful place to come from.
Well, we are up on our next break. Our next segment is called Bite Size Brilliance. So hang in with us, and we will talk about some tools and tips to take all of this great stuff we've been talking about and really make it applicable in your daily life. So we'll do that more here on Entanglement Radio when we return.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, I'm Katrina Kavanagh, host of the I Am Wisdom radio show. I Am Wisdom is about the connection between mind work and energy work, spirituality, and living a wonderful life. Looking forward to sharing each Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with you.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right, we are back here, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on Om Times Radio. My guest today is Janine Wiest, and she is the author of The Alchemy of Self-Healing. And this is a segment here, which I do at the end of every show. The last segment is called Bite Size Brilliance, and this is brought to you by Hestia Health, which is my company, but it's all about getting your inner house in order before you can go and spread your light in the world. So specializes in mind-body awareness, energy healing, and mind-body weight loss. Hestia Health, creating calm minds, open hearts, inspired lives. So with that, in your book, Janine, you give so many exercises. There's so many things for people to work through, tools and tips. So in addition to obviously getting your book, what is one thing, if my listeners here are thinking, you know, I'd really like to kind of pick up on some of those text messages being sent from my body, what's a good place for them to start?
Well, in terms of developing a nature-based relationship with your body and with the idea that we've been talking about in terms of alchemy being turning something ordinary into something extraordinary and being able to trust that inner guidance and coming to that place, I would like to just bring up something that usually people, I don't want to say sleepwalk through, but don't think much of, which would be whatever their commute is to work, whether it's if you work from home and you just walk across, you know, the backyard to get to your office, or whether you get on a train or a plane or you drive, I'd like to recommend that this is something that you can try really making a touchstone experience out of it. So I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. For example, trying a touchstone walk on a break, even if you have just a 15-minute coffee break. It's basically looking for nature in the city or looking for something unusual or strange or out of place in nature. So it's one of those two. If you are working in a high-rise or you find yourself in a high-rise waiting for a meeting and it's kind of dull and boring and you're nervous or all these things that we might think of as just ordinary parts of our day, I invite you to turn it into something extraordinary by actively looking. For example, if you're in that high rise, look for nature. And if you're out on a horse path, look for something that doesn't quite belong. And just that active noticing and the active of creative noticing, which I believe is alchemical, you can shift and change and deepen your relationship both to nature and to yourself, and you'll be honing those antennae, which we need to use to develop a really truly nature-based relationship. So doesn't that sound like fun?
It does. You know what I would do when I lived in Vancouver, and I lived in kind of a dumpy part of town, I would take pictures. I called it life through the cracks. And so I lived in a pretty industrial kind of area and bus depot and all this stuff. And so I like to, like you said, take notice of when life found its way up through the concrete. And I thought, there's a little bit, you know, life always finds its way. And it was just a way to kind of get me out of that place of, oh, look at the garbage. And, you know, there's so many kind of ugly things of humanity popping up. But look at life always finds a way.
Right. Look, so you're basically actively searching for the beauty. And I would say that then ultimately you bring that into your body by saying, where is the beauty in my body? I've seen people who have had recovering from horrible car accidents or horrible chronic illnesses, and they might think that there's nothing beautiful about their body. And you can see how this circles back to the beginning of the book where I have you do the quiz, you know, what do you love about your body? Well, this is another way in to falling in love with yourself and falling in love with this magical vessel that's basically your one vessel carrying you through this life. If you've had a horrible car accident and you can think of nothing that's good, nothing that's healthy, nothing that's positive, and maybe you can't do certain things that you used to be able to do, maybe you don't think you'll ever be able to do those things again. Still, as you say, find between the cracks. Find what is there that is positive and build on that. It might be your pinky finger, but notice it and build on it. And that's really what alchemy is. It happens through a process that can't be easily defined, but it definitely happens, and it happens all the time. But what you focus on grows. So the more you actually are actively kinesthetically doing things like that, and thinking about things like that and bringing them into your active day, you can make huge changes and widen your perspective beyond your wildest imaginings right now. And that's what I recommend. If you're driving, you know how sometimes when you're driving, there will be signs that say, if you lived here, you'd be home by now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen those.
Yeah.
Well, when they have that, when you see that, you know, what if you were to imagine what it would be like if you took the next exit, if you turned the next corner and lived in that area? And just for a moment, let your mind, you know, you might come away with incredible gratitude that you, in fact, don't live there. Or you might come away with an idea of, gee, maybe I could live in a house like that, or maybe I could live in an apartment building like that. And whatever it is, it gets you cooking, it gets you moving and thinking and sensing in a way that you're not currently doing.
Is there another tool or resource or exercise that you have that really helps us sense better, to get more in touch with the messages or the, you know, the sensory information that our body is sending to us?
Yes, I'm going to tell you about bringing down heaven, which has absolutely nothing to do with religion. So know that, first of all. What if heaven, the word heaven doesn't resonate for you, and spirit or nature or all that is resonates for you, great. Or even if it's just the universe, that's great. But this goes back to the torus shape of energy that we were talking about earlier when we were talking about energy signatures. So what you do, and I actually have pictures of it in the book that you can follow along with, but I'm going to describe it to you really quickly right now so you can do this. You can do it 3 times a day, and it completely brings into your focus all the energy around you that is actually yours. It's your energetic real estate that usually is not being used. So what you do is you start standing with your legs shoulder width apart, and you bring your hands up and out to the side of you. So you slowly bring them out almost like wings, and you bring them up to your shoulders with your palms facing down. Now the thing is, this is not a calisthenic exercise. It doesn't matter what your form really looks like. What matters is that instead of thinking about moving your arms throughout this process, what you're thinking about is the space that you are moving through. Okay, so you're switching from, I'm moving my arms out to the side too. And it's almost like it helps sometimes if you think about making a snow angel, or if you think about the bellows of a fireplace and how that expands and contracts. So you bring your arms really slowly. So you're only moving as quickly as you can still stay connected to the space you're moving through and not your arm, which means you will not be moving that quickly. And then when you get to shoulder height, you turn your palms up, and you continue making that wonderful sort of egg shape, and you bring it up to the top of your head. That's that torus, that's all your energy. Then you turn your palms towards your head, towards your face, and you slowly start bringing them down in front of you. Now the trick with that is that while you're bringing your arms down in front of you, at the same time you are thinking of an imaginary pair of arms going down behind you in that same shape. So you're 360. And you bring them down to your body. So that would be one round, and you would do 3 rounds. And when you do that, you are basically completely getting in touch with all of that 360 energy that's unseen support that's yours, especially that energy in your back, behind you. We hardly ever use that. And it represents really energetic real estate that we're ignoring. So I say this is a great way of getting ready for a speech. It's a great way of getting ready for an interview, a great way of getting ready for anything that you might perceive as being stressful or new or needing grounding energy for.
It's interesting. I was following along while you were saying that, and I couldn't help think about my shoulders, because I was like, oh, wow, I'm very tight in my shoulders as I'm putting my hands over my head. And then I was like, okay, but I'm supposed to be thinking about the space that I'm moving through. And it's going to take a little practice.
It sounds like a perfect exercise for you. And that just even that shuttling back and forth, awesome.
Oh.
Awesome work. Don't question it.
Well, we have a couple minutes left, and I want to give you plenty of opportunity to let us know about where people can find your book, if you have any upcoming workshops, anything you'd like to leave my listeners with here.
Well, I just wanted to let everybody know that I wrote this book in an answer to a need that I saw over the years with my clients feeling disconnected. So if there's something you're feeling disconnected from, or you just think there's something more that you can't quite put your finger on, this book is really built, was really written for you. Whether it's physical, metaphysical, or metaphorical, whether it's your desires and dreams that you feel like you just never seem to have time for, I would say there must be time. We must find time, because we weren't put on this earth to pay the mortgage or to pay the bills. That's not our soul's purpose. And so bringing that into your body, you will be able to find the time for all that stuff that is really why you're here. So I invite you to go to my website, www.cranialalchemy.com. Or you can go to JeaneWeist.com if that's easier to remember, and download that Inner Reconnaissance. It's about 20 minutes. It's really fun, and it really gives you a sense of the work that I do, that I start to show you in Chapter 1 of the book. So, yes, I do workshops on ancestors and abundance, and I do workshops regarding the book. So certainly contact me if you feel
Well, I just want to, you cut out a little bit there, but I just want to say thank you so much for being on the program. Next week, we have Nina Lesowitz, and we're going to be talking about the secrets of gratitude and the science of contentment. You can hear my show every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern right here on Om Times Radio. And if you need to get a hold of me, you can find me at HestiaHealth.com. Find me on Facebook and Twitter. I'd love to connect with you. This is Angela Levesque sending light and love to you all. I will see you next week.